1973, and low-income housing, it's always a topic, but I feel like it's just every year it's just more and more of a topic here in Manhattan as students deal with rent prices, and that's always a concern and the fluctuation there.
Yes. Affordable housing has been a topic in Manhattan since I came in 1987, but more so over the more recent years. I think there's a difference between low-income housing and affordable housing, because affordable housing is kind of a wide-open subject. It's all relative. What's affordable? How do you define affordable? With low-income housing, your rent is based on 30% of your adjusted gross income, and so it makes it affordable. There are other housing programs in town that help to make housing affordable in Manhattan, like the low-income housing tax credit projects. There's, the gardens at Flint Hills, there's Country Meadows, Brookfield, those developments, and they are rent restricted, and you have to income qualify to get in. However, the rent doesn't fluctuate with the income, but they are more affordable. The unfortunate thing with those programs is there are student restrictions for single student households or full-time or full households that are made up completely of students. So it's unfortunate that those rent eligibility restrictions are there. But for low-income housing, we do have some student restrictions, but they're much more relaxed than the other programs for affordable housing.
And I know one thing, Joanne, you mentioned over the break, you want to mention about the waiting list and give some folks some information about that.
Yes, I would. We do have a waiting list right now for all of our units. However, on the one-bedroom list, which we'll be focusing on, in trying to get people qualified and ready to move into these apartments when they're done, we have about 63 people, and we have about 16 to 20 people will be moving back in. We encourage anybody who is interested to come in and apply for an apartment, especially the one bedrooms, but regardless of what bedroom size you need, and let us start working with you to get you qualified. We, as soon as this building gets its certificate of occupancy from the city, we'd like to begin reoccupying these units. And sometimes that is a bit of a process in order to get everything verified and determine eligibility. So we would encourage you, if you need housing or if you know somebody that does, to have them get in touch with us.
Brady Bowman with Joanne Sutton, the Executive Director of Manhattan Housing Authority, and Board Member Phil Anderson. If you want to get involved in the conversation, give us a call, 785-537-1350. And Phil, during the break, you mentioned the partnerships with the city. You mentioned the Housing Authority used to be a department in the city. Now it's kind of more of an agency, but Phil's still very heavily involved.
Yes.
Or to a degree.
To a degree. Well, and we're really thankful for the city agreeing to help us out with the financing of it. And that, I want to emphasize, is a repayable $1 million. And so once we get that complex, those 88 units fully filled up, and we're down the road a couple of years, we can start making that repayment to the city. I would also mention that some people think that this whole process has taken too long, but we're dealing with HUD, and that's a federal agency, and we just had a change of administrations. And any decision that we have to make has to include HUD approval. And so this whole process involved having to ask, can we do this? And it would be months before we got a response. Understandable, because any governmental agency, whether it's local, state, or federal, has their own ways of doing things, and you have to do it the way in which they do it and go through that process. So this has taken time, but I think the result is going to be an outstanding 88 units. And when City Commissioner Wynn Butler and City Commissioner Mike Dodson toured it, and I happened to be along with on that tour, and Joanne as well as some of the contractors and the architect, Kent Foster. Kent said to me, he said, I would not design a unit or this complex if I wouldn't make it comfortable enough for me to live in there as well. Low-income housing does not have to mean that you can't have a very nice, a very clean a place to live. And I think anybody who lives there will be very happy with the amenities that are there.
And again, just to maybe remind folks, maybe just be tuning in about the apartment towers. There was some issues there, but working on them. And I think, Joanne, you mentioned hopefully by the end of the year, maybe by the end of the summer, might be able to get folks back in there.
By the end of the summer, the current work is scheduled to be done by July 25th. We're hoping it can be done before then. That is the contractor's deadline date to get things done. We always allow time for the unforeseens. But we are anxious and chomping at the bit to get people qualified and get people back in those units and make use of that building once again.
How many stories is Apartment Towers?
It is 12 stories tall.
So I'm sure it's a pretty good view up there at the 12th floor.
It's a beautiful view from the 12th floor.
And again, you told me over a break, a lot of people ask you if they could take pictures on the roof.
Yes.
Not so much, right?
Not so much. It's a bit of a liability.
A little bit. Need railing. A lot would need to be done for something like that.
Yes, sir.
Just looking at the housing market here in Manhattan, it does seem like over the last couple of years, especially from rent prices, it has been changing a little bit. We've seen a lot more units out there, just not far here from the K-Man Studios here on Casement on Marlette. There's a lot of units. I don't remember exactly. I think hundreds of units over to Marlette, and they're planning
over
some
600,
more.
Yes.
Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
they're planning some more. What are you noticing as far as the housing market in Manhattan?
We are overbuilt around the university and other locations as well, and the effect of that is that the marginal houses are going unrented, and most of us, and I have some rental units myself, the price of our units has remained the same for 5 years as a result. Because you're trying to keep people in them. So if you have to reduce the price a little bit, that's having a positive effect on people who are looking to rent. And I think the other positive is some of the marginal places around town, there will be an opportunity to redo them, to restore them, to renovate them. And that will be a positive impact on all of the housing in Manhattan.
It's kind of an exciting time in a lot of ways. It is mm-hmm. in Manhattan anyway, with the growth that we've experienced, the growth we're expecting as
yes.
MBAF gets closer to completion. A lot of things that when you look at the horizon, a lot of exciting things going on.
Yes.
And with the Manhattan Housing Authority, I'm sure it takes more than just you two to get things going. If people are interested in helping out, are you needing help at the Housing Authority? Do you have a central office somewhere people want to get involved?
We do. Normally, our office is on the ground floor of the high-rise. However, the office has been relocated as well. We're currently at 205 South 4th Street, Suite G. That's the Workforce Center building where the old Sears building. And so when the renovations are done, the office will be moving back over there also. But to contact us for now, come to 205 South 4th Street, Suite G, or you can give us a call at 776-8588.
All right. We got just about a couple minutes left. Anything else, Phil or Joanne, that maybe I didn't ask or we didn't get to that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Go ahead.
I would just like to thank the community for their support through this time. It's been a long time coming, and I know there have been a lot of questions about why is it taking so long, and I hope the information that we have provided today has helped.
I would also say, as one of seven board members helping make some of these decisions, that every one of us greatly appreciates the leadership that Joanne has provided and the excellence. And in fact, she has won awards from NAREL of the national organization for her ability in managing these kinds of complex problems. And she's frequently called upon by others in her position around the country and around the state for advice. So we're very fortunate to have Joanne Sutton here as our director of housing in Manhattan.
Very good note to end on. Joanne Sutton, Executive Director of Manhattan Housing Authority, and Board Member Phil Anderson, thanks so much for coming on. Also, thanks to Blue Valley Randolph High School Middle School Principal Marianne Mazouk and Riley County Superintendent Cliff Williams for coming on earlier. If you missed anything, go online, newsradiokman.com, on-demand tab, and you can get caught up on InFocus. Thanks for listening.
All right, Brady, thank you much. Coming up next, after CBS News, The Clark Howard Show, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick, then The Game. This afternoon with John Kurtz and crew. K-State Women's Basketball on the air tonight, beginning at 6:30.
Come in and see your neighbors at Carpet One of Manhattan on Fort Riley Boulevard. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan. This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual.